Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, March 2nd, and we want to thank the Lord for His blessings and goodness in allowing us to be able to send out these broadcasts over WSOF and WAJJ Radio, as well as over the internet at wsof.org. And I want to remind you that we do have these broadcast in podcast form. You can go on our website at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Look that up. Go on our website and you can download these podcasts and listen to them at your convenience. Trust that might be a blessing to you. Amen. Well, we are right in our Bible conference, our annual Bible conference. This is our fourth annual Bible conference and we're excited about it and been looking forward to it all year. When we have one, we look forward to the next one. I'm telling you, it's always a blessing. This year, we always have, by the way, always have two different preachers come in and deal with a subject, whatever they want to. If they want to take a book of the Bible or a topic or do a series of some kind, we want to study the Bible together. And this year, we're privileged to have two preachers from Tennessee, Evangelist Jimmy Moyes from down in Lyles, Tennessee, and then Pastor Ronnie Jones from down in McDonald, Tennessee, or the Ottawa area, and appreciate these two men. Both of them did some fine preaching last night. I mean, good Bible, old-time Bible preaching, and I appreciate it, and looking forward to it again tonight as well. That is at 7 p.m. Love to invite you to come and be a part of those services with us here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. We are located at 1415 Island Ford Road, right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. By the way, if you stay tuned to 89.9 or to WAJJ, either one, you will hear these messages as they will be broadcast live tonight at 7 p.m. But if you can come be with us, there's just nothing like being there in person. Amen. And so hope that you will. Hope you pray for us as well, that the Lord might meet with us and help us as we study the Bible together. Amen. All right, well, we need to pray for one another. Pray that God bless the program, bless the services tonight. But right now, we're going to get ready to preach from Matthew chapter number 6 again here in just a moment. But before we do, I've got a good song queued up and want you to pray that God bless this broadcast right here today. We're playing music this week from the Joyful Moyes Singers. That is the Jimmy Moyes family from Lyles, Tennessee. They recorded a CD back last year, I believe it was, up here at Faith Music. We appreciate that. Appreciate them doing that. It's a good recording, and they've got several good songs on that CD. And we chose a song from that CD for our theme for our Bible conference this time, God's Word Will Stand. Played that on yesterday's program. And today I want to pick up another song that they did. I believe this is the first one that we introduced to the radio. And it's a song by the Moyes family and talking about being sure of salvation. We are looking again in Matthew chapter number 6 at two particular verses that we've covered already. We're going to continue that coverage. Verses 22 through 23. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount series, studying that sermon. But we're in the section where he's dealing about people being blinded. And I'm actually preaching on the thought of eyes that are blinded. And we talked previously about the fact that riches blind many people. And then we dealt with the fact that religion blinds multitudes of people. The third point being rebellion. Rebellion blinds people to their sin. And now on today's broadcast, we're going to get to the fourth and final point. We will rehearse all three of those, then get to the fourth and final point on today's broadcast, talking about relationships that blind people to the gospel. We'll deal with a couple of those on today's broadcast and then come back tomorrow and complete the message with a third relationship and more on the others as well. Hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky.
Turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 22. And read down through verse 23. Just these two verses of our text tonight. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I'm preaching on eyes that are blinded. When you sin, I go back to this, I touched on it a moment ago, but when you sin, your conscience reproves you. If you continue to sin, you train yourself to ignore your conscience. You ever had a car that when you didn't buckle the seatbelt, it just kept dinging. It didn't quit dinging. Ding, 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 ding. And then maybe you had that car for a few years. You never turned it off. You never got it stopped. And one day you're riding down the road and somebody says, you got somebody riding with you, hadn't been riding for a while. They say, what's that noise? And you say, what noise? You've learned to ignore it. Because you don't intend on putting your seatbelt on. And so you don't care about the dinging that's going on there. Listen, that's what happens to our conscience. If we keep ignoring it, we train ourselves to ignore our conscience. And if we continue down that road, our conscience can become seared. Paul said to Timothy in chapter 4, 1 Timothy, it becomes seared with a hot iron. It's as if it gets calloused over our conscience. And then it'll become deadened and unfeeling until the point it'll stop. Can I tell you, that is extremely dangerous. I'll give you another illustration. I'm moving on. But I read a story. I thought it fit right here. And I read about this just the other day. The execution of Lady Jane Grey. Bloody Mary was her half-sister, but she wanted to be queen. Bloody Mary not only killed hundreds of Anabaptists, hundreds. She killed the Church of England. She killed Protestants. She killed them by the multitudes because she was valiant for Rome and Rome's control of England. Bloody Mary. But she not only killed all those hundreds, she killed her sister, Lady Jane Grey. 17 years old. You know how she died, how Lady Jane Grey died? Her head was chopped off. They didn't have the guillotine in those days. What they did, and this is what I read about, it was common for them to do it. They would take the person who was guilty of the crime, whatever the crime was. They would lead them through the crowd from the prison to the tower. Had a scaffold built in front of the tower. They'd lead them up the steps of the scaffold, and then they would turn to the people. And while they were turned to the people, they would blindfold them. They would allow them to see the executioner, the hood over his head, the axe in his hand. And many times he would ask them to forgive him for what he's about to do. They asked Lady Jane Grey, the executioner said, will you forgive me? And she said, I lay not this sin to your charge. That's what she told him. But they'd allow them to see that executioner with the axe, and they'd allow them to see the chop block. Then they'd put that blindfold over them. They might have a priest say some words over them, and then they'd say, lay your head on the chop block. You know what they were supposed to do? Let's pretend this was the chop block. They were to blindfold. They were to find it. However they could find it. And this is what they said. When Lady Jane Grey was trying to do that, she couldn't find it. She had stopped. She had bowed too soon and she couldn't find it. And the priest against the law, actually the priest reached up and guided her hands to it. But when they guided their hands to it, then they were to stretch out their neck. They were to stretch out their neck and when they were ready, throw out their hands, and the executioner would come down with the axe, and off would come their head. You say, preacher, that's gruesome. These people doing it every day. When you're sinning these sins of rebellion that I'm talking about, you're putting the blindfold on yourself. You're feeling for the chop block yourself. And you're stretching your neck out. Every time you say, I'm not listening to the preacher. Every time you say, I'm not listening to my conscience. Every time you say, I'm not living by those rules and regulations. You're stretching your neck out. One day the axe is coming down. Amen. I can say a lot more about that. Let me give you my fourth one, all right? This will be the last one tonight, Lord willing. Not only people are blinded by riches, blinded by religion, blinded by rebellion. There's a lot of people blinded by relationships. Touched on it a little bit already. In talking about these illicit relationships. And I mentioned that people that cheat on their spouse are blinded by their sin and their rebellion. It's true. But they can also be blinded by their affection. By the developed affection that they have for that person that they're with. There are people that become so encaptured, ensnared, and captivated, that's the word I'm looking for, captivated by someone that they can't break free of that someone. I can give you some good illustrations in the Bible, give you a number of them. Old Testament, I'll just throw out, well, I can Samson was ensnared by that sin. David got ensnared by that sin. And Solomon got ensnared by that sin. Women that was going to be the death of them. That's not a slam on women by any means. Just that women that was going to be the death of them because they were not the kind of women that they should have been with to start with. It was not honorable vows being made and all the things that goes along in that. It was wickedness that was involved in that. And in that case, they became ensnared. And some of them to the point that they could not break free. People do that today. There are people today that are not only blinded to sin, they can't see any way out. They're so captured by sin that they can't see any way out. They feel as if there's no hope for people like me. There's nowhere I can go. There's nothing that I can do. They cannot see any freedom away from that person. There's an old adage that says, love is blind. It's a statement that's used most of the time to explain why a beautiful woman would date or marry an extremely ugly man. I'm not going to give illustrations. Or vice versa. It's to tell us why people get together, how that works sometimes. It's because it is true. Love is blind. When you love somebody, you'll overlook their flaws. When you love somebody, you're blinded to. That's what the idea of overlooking. Blinded to their faults and their failures that are so glaringly obvious to everybody else. But love can help you look past that. Love can help you to be blind to that. But that old adage, don't say this. I believe love is blind. But I believe lust is even more blinding. It's binding and blinding. That's what it did to Samson, by the way. It bound him and it blinded him. But I'm convinced that some people are so attached to somebody else to the point that they cannot hear the voice of God when he speaks to them. That they cannot hear the truths of Christ plainly and clearly. There's examples in the Bible. I want to give you three tonight real quickly. And they're all from the New Testament. First of all, there's a man by the name of Herod. You remember Herod? Turn to Mark chapter number 6. Herod was a man that enjoyed listening to John the Baptist preach. Well, I would have enjoyed it too. He enjoyed listening to John the Baptist preach. But because of his illicit relationship with his brother Philip's wife, he had John imprisoned. And because of his lustful relationship with the daughter of Herodias, he not only had John imprisoned, he had his head chopped off. Mark chapter 6 verse 20. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and an holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. That's amazing. He did many things. He probably tried to straighten up certain things in his life. I mean, John hit something. He said, I'm going to work on that. But when John got to that relationship, he wasn't going to listen. When John got to that relationship that was binding him, that relationship that was blinding him, he said, I'm not going to pay any attention to that. Look back at verse number 17 of Mark chapter 6. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison. Look at this. For Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. And John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of said Herodias came in and danced, and please, Herod, by the way, there ain't nothing good about that dancing business. Amen. They said Billy Sunday was famous for saying a praying knee and a dancing foot don't grow on the same leg. Amen. She danced and pleased him. And Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. She went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. It didn't please him. He's upset. Yet for the oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. Now here's what I want you to notice. Here's a man blinded by relationships. He loved to hear John. He didn't want to have John locked up, but because of that relationship, he did. She got mad. It doesn't say Herod got mad. He said to Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. And she got mad about what he said to him. And Herod had him locked up because of this woman. He didn't want to have him locked up, but he did because of Herodias. He didn't want to kill John, but he did because of her daughter and those that were around him. Now, I want you to think about this. As far as I know, I don't know of anybody else that had the audacity to witness to Herod. I don't know of anybody else that was warning Herod, but Herod shut the mouth of the only person that warned him. Herod shut the mouth of the only person that was witnessing to him and telling him the truth of the Word of God, that was interested in his real health, not just in his money and his kingdom, but was interested in his eternal health. And he shut the mouth of the message. Why? Because he'd shut his eyes. He was blinded by those relationships. Amen. He chose a wicked woman over his own soul. There's another man by the name of Agrippa, I believe, did the same thing in Acts chapter number 25, if you want to turn over there. A man by the name of Agrippa. He didn't hear John preached, as far as we know, but he heard Paul. He was interested in hearing Paul preach. Agrippa was a Jewish man who had been exalted to a political position by the Roman authorities. He knew the law. And I'm not talking about the Roman law. I'm talking about the law of God. Moses' law. He knew the law. And he's interested in hearing Paul preach. He was moved to almost, in his own words, become a Christian. But something held him back. What was it? I believe it was a relationship. Acts chapter number 25 and verse number 13. And after certain days, Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. So here he is, and when he's mentioned with this woman, Bernice, is how it's in the Bible. I'd say Bernice, that's the way we looked at it, but the way it's pronounced in there says Bernice. All right, look at verse number 22. Verse number 22. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself. Tomorrow, said he, thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city at Festus's command, Paul was brought forth. Jump over to chapter 26, verse 1 through 3. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am now accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert. Look at that. He's an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. Jump over to verse number 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was almost persuaded. We're not told explicitly, again, what hindered Agrippa from turning to the gospel message of Paul. He knew it. He knew the law. He knew what had taken place in Jerusalem. He knew what Paul was saying. But I believe it's implied of what was holding him back was this influence of this woman by the name of Bernice. We don't know a whole lot about her from the Bible, but we do from history. Josephus, John Gill, a lot of commentators discuss this woman, Bernice. Bernice was not Agrippa's wife. She was his sister. She had been married to King, a man by the name of Polemon or Polemon, king of Cilicia. Before that, though, by the way, that was her second husband. Her first husband was her uncle, Herod. She married her uncle. Tells you a little something about what kind of woman she was. He was a king. When Herod died, she married another king, this Polemon of Cilicia, but she separated from him and shacked up with her brother, Agrippa. And a lot of these commentators and stuff talk about how it was a scandal in Israel about this fact that this brother and sister were tied together. Here's the point I'm making. That is so denigrating to my mind. I mean, it's so ugly to my mind. It's hard to comprehend. But I'll tell you what it does. In our world's full update, it is a binding and blinding sin that people get involved in. And they can't see a way out. Agrippa got close. He heard Paul preach, but he was blinded by sin. Perhaps he could have brought himself to listen a little bit more, brought himself to consider it a little bit more, if he hadn't been with Bernice with her great pomp, the Bible says. He's making a statement about how she was decked out and pranced in that great, I get a picture of a full-blown Jezebel is what I get a picture of in the way that she came into that thing. But she had captured and captivated Agrippa, and he couldn't get out even with the gospel because he was blinded by relationship.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.